99 years old is not a good time to have a child. Even if you're able to have a child, who wants to be running in behind a two-year-old at 101? This is not a good time in the eyes of men to have a child, but it was just right for God. I'm trying to tell you that what you started out snickering at didn't mean that you didn't want it. It didn't mean that Sarah didn't want a child. It was just that at this particular time, it was harder than ever to believe God. In the middle of COVID-19 and an economic breakdown and the country divided by politics, this is the worst time to do anything. And yet God has a way of picking the worst time to do the best stuff. Do you not know that more people became millionaires during the Great Depression than any other time in the history of this country? While other people were talking about the bread lines and talking about how things were going down and how things were impossible, other people were buying up property, buying up businesses, buying up companies because they were on sale for little or nothing, because they recognized that the time didn't have anything to do with the promise. I want to talk to you today because the enemy's trying to distract you with the bad news to the point that you don't see the good news. Let me tell you something. Everybody's not worried about the bad news. Everybody's not worried about the headline. Everybody's not upset about the things that common people are upset about. Other people are looking for the opportunity in spite of the age. I'm 99, but God said it's going to happen. And COVID is everywhere. We're spiking in the city, but God said he's going to bless me. Things are getting worse than ever, but I believe God's going to bless me. The country looks like it's falling apart. But God said, I'm not looking at none of that stuff. I swear I'm going to bless you. God has decreed for us to come into agreement. You don't need to make an agreement with somebody where you think just alike. You need an agreement where there is a possibility of contention. You don't need a contract if you don't have the possibility of contention. The possibility of contention is you may stray, I may stray, but an agreement means we agree about this. We may not agree about, you may want a stucco house, I may want a brick house. But if we agree to what's in the covenant, we have an agreement, which today is called a contract. And when you have a contract, you have deliverables, whereas for the which cause this person should deliver this by this day or that day does not mean that we both like meatloaf. All right. So we can have our distinctions. We can have our differences. But the agreement is those areas in our lives that we have an understanding that we are in agreement about, a MOU, a memorandum of understanding. We have come into covenant. Abraham and Sarah are able to defy all odds based on agreement, agreeing with each other about what God has spoken in their life. But what I want to share over the next few minutes is that agreement doesn't come easy. Agreement doesn't come easy. We can come over here, you can bring a man and a woman and bring them to us, and we can pronounce a man and wife. Average wedding ceremony actually in about 30 or 40 minutes. But they may spend the next 10 years coming into agreement. The service and the wedding is easier than the marriage and the ever after. Coming into agreement is a process. So you start out bickering about little things. You didn't put down the toilet seat. You leave the toothpaste open. You did this. You did that. You don't clean up after yourself. You don't cook. Ta-da-da. You come into agreement. See, the problem is we want everything right now, but we don't want to go through the process that it takes to come into agreement. It is a process. It is arduous. It is difficult. It is a journey. It develops over time. It enriches itself through experiences. And eventually we come in agreement. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that fell onto the head of Aaron, onto his beards, and onto his skirts. For there God commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. Where is there? At the point of our agreement. Wherever we walked, however long it took, whatever we went through, at the point we came into agreement, that's when the blessing began to occur in our lives. While we are coming into process, we can't be fruitful because we haven't come into full agreement. We need agreement. If we're going to build a church, we need agreement. If we're going to build a business, we need agreement. If we're going to have a great ministry, we need agreement. If we're going to raise great children, we need agreement. If we're going to have a great marriage, we need agreement. We don't need to be the same, but we need to have agreement. My wife and I are as different as day and night about some things. She has one personality type, I have another, but we come into agreement about certain things. I didn't have to morph into being her. She doesn't have to morph into becoming me. We learned that over the years, that it's better to let her be her and let me be me so that we can be comfortable in the relationship, but we come into agreement about certain things, and those areas are the places of being fruitful. Agreements aren't easy. Agreements require negotiation. Agreements require maturity. Agreements require process. Agreements require commitment. Agreements require focus, and agreements take time. I tell my wife all the time, when it comes to the bigger the business deal, the longer the time it takes. I've never seen anybody do a big deal in a short time. Anything that comes together too quick scares me. Because when something is big, it's complicated. And when it's complicated, it takes time. And you want to have the forethought to think about all the details so that if you do all the grunt work up front, when you deliver the thing you're trying to deliver, you are less likely to have problems if you do the grunt work up front. Today, we get married fast, and then after we get married, we start dating each other. We need to do that the other way around. Before I walk up the aisle and say I do, I need to know who I'm saying I do to. I need to know something about you. I need to know something about your parents. I need to know something about your family. I need to know something about your background. I need to know something about your childhood. It may not all be good. It may not all be nice. But I need to know what I'm coming into agreement with. And then I need to know what we are agreeing about. What do you mean when you say I love you? What do you mean when you say let's get married? What do you mean when you say happily ever after? To make sure that we have the same vision. Because if we don't have the same vision, write this down, if we don't have the same vision, we're going to have division. Division isn't that we're enemies, it's just that we got two different visions as to what we're trying to get done. And for the first couple to be listed in the hallmark of faith, they went through a process to come into agreement. Pastor, don't be discouraged if your whole church is not in agreement with you. You've been there a few years. It's going to take some time to develop agreement. You may not ever have the whole church buy in to get done what you're trying to get done, but to develop enough around you, a disciples, a quorum, a group that brings about agreement takes time and investment. Just because you appoint people doesn't bring them into agreement with the vision. Just because they got degrees doesn't bring them into agreement with the vision. Just because they got talent doesn't mean they have agreement with the vision. Everything good doesn't go together with each other. It takes a while to find that harmonious zone whereby you can play your note, I can play my note, and we can still have a harmonious sound and not a cacophony of noise that hinders and breaks down our ability to have agreement. A chord is notes that come into agreement to produce a sound. A cacophony is when you add a note that doesn't fit in that chord structure. It creates noise, but not music. And a lot of us are not making music, we're making noise because we've got the wrong notes in the chord that stops us from getting the promises that are based on our ability to come on one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were in one place with what? One accord. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. The moment they got with one accord, there came a suddenly in their life. They sat there 10 days to get with one accord. Jesus left on the 40th day. The Holy Ghost didn't fall till the 50th day. It took them 10 days to get with one accord. People who had been together for 3 years still took 10 days when they were in one place with one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. We didn't wait 10 days for the sound to come. We're waiting 10 days for us to get with one accord. How much have you put into one accord? How much have you put into an agreement? How much effort and work and talk and communication has gone into agreement? Is it agreement you want or control? Is it agreement you want or domination? An agreement means we got to negotiate. It means I may have to give up some things. You may have to give up some things. We have to believe in something higher than our own selfish ambitions in order to come into agreement so that we can accomplish the things of God. Are you with me? I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know why I'm talking this way, but God's getting ready to bring you into agreement that's going to unlock some things in your life like you have never seen before. And the reasons you've been hindered before is that you have hooked up with people that weren't in agreement with you, and ultimately everything fell apart for the lack of cohesiveness because you didn't have agreement. Jesus spent more time with the 12 than he did with the 5,000. You can't get 5,000 people to agree about what color car we're going to have, but he worked with the 12 to bring them to agreement. Agreement is a powerful thing. Agreement is a powerful thing. If you get agreement, it'll change your life. If you get agreement, it will open up doors. Agreement is a powerful thing, but it takes time to come into agreement, because not only do we need to come into agreement about principles that require some negotiation and some sacrifice of my selfishness and my narcissistic attitude, I may have to give up some of that for the benefit of agreement. I have to give up some of me for there to be us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? But I also want you to understand that agreement is difficult because we have to grow into agreement with God. Because there's not as much difference between Abraham and Sarah as there is difference between Abraham, Sarah, and God. God is eternal. God is everlasting. God is holy. God is perfect in all his ways. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. They are none of that. They are temporal. They are finite. They are human. They are fallen. They are chaotic. They are sinful. They make mistakes. Look at what it took for them to come into alignment with a God who is even more different than they are from each other. So when your prayer partner and you come together into agreement, that's a job. The next job is to come into agreement with God, who sees the end from the beginning, who has an expected end for your life, who is perfect in all his ways. Coming into agreement with God is a process. How do I come into agreement with God? Spending time, spending prayer, being honest with yourself, being honest with him. Stop being religious and pretending to be something that you're not. Open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to walk into your life. And little by little, the Word is made flesh in your life. And when the Word is made flesh in your life, you're coming into agreement. When the Word is made flesh in your life, when you stop being a hearer and become a doer of the Word, you come into agreement. Just because you're exposed to the Word doesn't mean you're in agreement to it. Just because you heard the sermon doesn't mean that you're in agreement to it. Just because you go to a great church doesn't mean you're in agreement to it. It takes a while for the Word to penetrate your cold, stony, fleshly heart and to get down to that soft place where you can germinate and bring forth the character of God in your life. It's a process for Abraham and Sarah. They did not start out being worthy of being in the hallmark of faith. They had to grow into it. I want to challenge you to continue to support the ministry, because you know as well as I do that the ministry is not about pews, and it's not about benches, and it's not about stained glass windows or technology or any of the things you see around us. This is not ministry. Ministry is word reaching ear, power touching need, miracles touching mess. That's ministry. And there's nothing about this situation that can circumvent the ministry from reaching not only you and you and you and you, but people all over the world by the power of God. If your faith is invigorated, if your mind is renewed, if you've watched this broadcast and it's changed your life in any kind of way, then I don't have to tell you that it's good ground. And I don't have to encourage you to sow, because you're too much of a Christian to cheat God out of the opportunity to pour out supernatural blessings in your life, because we are coming to a time that if God doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. The just shall walk by faith. So when you hear the writer of Hebrews in the 11th chapter talking about the power couple, you got to understand they didn't start out the power couple. They started out the lying couple, the laughing couple, the doubting couple, the couple of fear and unbelief. But as they kept on walking with God, you got to walk with God through the laughing stage. You got to walk with God through the lying stage. You got to walk with God through the fearing stage. You got to walk with God through the worrying stage. And as you continue to walk with God, like scales falling off you, little by little by little by little, God begins to mature himself into you to bring you into the power of agreement. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. You're going to need strength for what God's getting ready to give you. You're going to need strength for what God's getting ready. That's why the enemy doesn't want you to have any strength. That's why he's feeding you all that stuff you shouldn't be eating in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, even in your body, because he doesn't want you to have the energy to birth, to really get that. Labor is hard work. Having a baby is labor. I see why they call it labor. You sweat, you grunt, you groan, you break blood vessels. Birthing a baby is work. You're going to need strength to birth that thing that you have started in your life, and you cannot do it tired. You cannot do it tired. You cannot do it depressed. You cannot do it feeling sorry for yourself. You cannot do it doubting yourself. You cannot do it walking in unbelief. You cannot do it walking in fear. Through faith, also, Sarah herself received strength. Strength? She needed strength, Lord? I thought she needed a cycle. I thought she needed a virile husband. I thought she needed to reverse the clock. God said the first thing Sarah needed was strength, because Sarah was tired. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength. Strength to conceive. Strength to conceive. We know she believed because it said through faith. She believed. She didn't start out believing, but she had at some point come to the place of believing. You come to the place of believing. You don't just automatically believe. You come to the place of believing. You grow to the place of believing. At first, you're just making noise, and you're just coming to church, and you're just shouting, you're just clapping, but you're not really there yet. You come to the place of believing God. I know she finally got from behind the door, quit lying. She quit laughing. Look at her. She's a woman of faith. She was lying. She was laughing. Look at all the areas she had to grow in, from laughing to lying to believing. Just because she was lying doesn't mean she wasn't a woman of God. Just because she was laughing doesn't mean she wasn't a woman of God. She had to keep on walking. As she kept on walking, she stopped lying. She stopped laughing, and she started believing. So I know she was believing because it said through faith. Also, Sarah herself. Now, she had the faith. She's believing, but she needed strength to conceive. I want to talk to people who are in between believing and conceiving. You believe it, but you haven't conceived it yet. And the Bible said you've got enough faith that you're through laughing and you're through lying and you are believing, but you need strength to conceive. And you need to lift your hands right where you are and ask God to just strengthen you and build you up and get you ready and get your energy back and stop allowing the enemy to talk you into not being able to do what God has called you to do. I'm talking right to you. I'm talking right to you. I'm talking right to your situation. I'm talking right to your circumstances. I'm talking right to how you feel in your body. I'm talking right to how you feel in your head. I'm talking right to how you feel in your moods. I'm talking right to how you feel in your situation. You need to receive, shata. You need to receive strength. You need to right now, coming at you is strength from the Lord. Coming at you is strength from God. 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 Coming at you is strength. Coming at you is strength. Coming at you. Coming at you. Coming at you. Coming at you is strength. Glory to God. Strength. In order to get from believing to conceiving, you have to receive strength to conceive seed. Strengthen me for what you're going to do at this season in my life. There's no way in the world a 99-year-old woman is supposed to have strength to push like this. Supernatural strength is coming to you. Supernatural strength. Do you hear me? Supernatural strength is coming to you in this last mile of the way. God is giving you strength to conceive seed. When she was past childbearing age, because, not because she went to GNC, not because she started taking her vitamins, do all of that, but not because of any of that, but because she judged him faithful who had promised her. Not because she looked at Abraham and said, ooh, look at Abraham. No, it wasn't that. It happened because she judged him faithful who had promised her. Do you really judge God faithful? Do you really receive the strength to believe that even in this season, even with a GED, even graduating with 2 years from a junior college, even finished trade school, even been in prison, do you receive strength to conceive, see, or are you just going to lay back on the corner, grab yourself by the leg and say, I can't. The power of agreement is not just agreement between Abraham and Sarah. They had that. They both made it to the hallmark of faith. Both of them were laughing, and both of them were liars, and they still made it to believing. Thank you, God, for patience with us while we develop. And they made it to the hallmark of faith. And Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He had the faith to go out looking for something and not know exactly what he was looking for. He had the faith to walk through uncertainty. Do you have the faith to go through an uncertain period and still be searching for something that you cannot describe, but I know it when I see it? That keen discernment to sense what you cannot describe. And can you do it in the middle of a pandemic? Can you do it in the middle of an economic turndown? Can you do it in the middle of national, international, global turbulence? Can you do it with all the odds stacked up against you? And you still say, I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something. I am not looking to die on a ventilator. I am not looking to be in some refrigerated 18-wheeler. I am not looking to be homeless. I am not looking to be in a nervous breakdown. I'm not looking to be in a nursing home. I am not looking for that. I'm looking for something else. I'm looking. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for something that has the foundations, not the finish. Not the finish. I'm not looking for the finish. Oh, you didn't hear that. I'm not looking for the finish. I'm looking for the foundation. If the foundation is there, I can do the finish. I am looking for the foundation in a wife. I'm looking for the foundation in a husband. I'm looking for the foundation in a pastor. I'm looking for the foundation of a business. Stop trying to find finished stuff. You're glitzy and glamorous and trying to find something you can post on Instagram to impress people that don't even care about you. Find something that the foundation is right. He said, I'm looking for the right foundation. And he found the city. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed when she was past childbearing age because she judged him faithful who had promised. In the meantime, she had laughed, she had lied, she had manipulated Hagar, trying to get Hagar to come in, Abraham, in the text I just read, told God, he said, what about Ishmael? Won't he be enough? God said, no, it's not going to come through Ishmael. Ishmael's going to be blessed, but he's not it. He's not the promised seed. Anytime you have an Ishmael, it's a sign that Isaac is coming. Do you hear me? Anytime you have an Ishmael, he is only a sign that Isaac is coming. Ishmael is always a forerunner for Isaac. So don't you get to the Ishmael situation and say, well, that's all. I'm just going to make do with that. No, that's not all. That is a forerunner and a predictor and a prophetic utterance that Isaac is still on his way. God, I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I don't mean you're going to need to wait till everything's over. I mean right in the middle of this mess we're in right now, God's going to do it. Receive strength.
Position, exposure, courage, and knowledge all have a part in expressing the full potential that God has placed in you. Today, for your gift of any amount, you'll receive Pecking Order as audio and video recorded live at Women Thou Art Loosed. In the special message, Bishop Jake shares the four words that will serve as pillars of strength and encouragement for your spirit. For your gift of $90 or more, you'll also receive the Woman of Prayer set, including a mug, tote bag, and Bishop's new book, When Women Pray, examining the lives of 10 women in the Bible who changed the world through prayer. In addition, for your gift of $120 or more, you can have the 5-message Woman Thou Art Loosed Legacy Collection as audio and video, and the Woman Thou Art Loosed Bible, as well as the Woman of Prayer set and Pecking Order by Bishop T.D. Jakes. Don't wait. Call or go online, and this incredible bundle can be yours today. It's time to create a perspective of faith that will guide you for the rest of your life.
The beginning.
You can stand up to the enemy and go, no, I know who I am in him.
I'm just making you stronger.
Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Stone.